And welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Well, hello there. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett, who is still in Australia with some of the other folks from Catholic Answers. They are spreading the gospel and the faith throughout the country there and looking forward to their return. But today we have a great show for you, my friends. I'm going to tell you about hour two. First of all, Joel Heschmeyer is going to be with us and we'll be talking about the development of doctrine. That's going to be a really interesting conversation. So you're going to want to tune in then. But this hour we have Adam Janke with us and we'll be talking about evangelization not as hard as you think. And Adam, I am so excited to talk about this today. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, thanks, Sherry. It's great to be back on the show again.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I'm going to give the listeners the phone number here, and then we'll talk a little bit about your background. 888-318-7884. Of course, our listeners here at Catholic Answers, Adam, are very discerning. They want to know, who are they talking to? So I'll tell you exactly. Adam oversees the development of programs and resources for the St. Paul Evangelization Institute. That includes the Urban Missionary Program, the Regional Missionary Program, Leadership Training Institute, and the School of Evangelization. And he lives in Michigan. And I understand that you're actually a convert from Bible biblical fundamentalism. Is that right?
Yeah, that is. Back in 2005, my wife and I converted from the Baptist Church. So we had gone out and done street ministry as Baptists and trying to save the Catholics. And here we are now going on 12 years of just being in this beautiful, wonderful Catholic Church.
Oh, that's so funny. And now you're out saving the Baptists, right? No, I'm kidding. I know we Catholics, we don't look at it quite the same way as they do in fundamentalism. But you know, it's wonderful to see that you have actually taken what you learned as a Baptist doing that street ministry and put that into your Catholic faith.
Yeah, that's right. It's, street ministry is such a wonderful opportunity to go out and meet people where they're at. And there are so many misconceptions about it. And sure, there are people out there, you know, Bible thumping and that kind of thing. But just being able to really be part of people's lives and pray for them and answer questions that they have is such a privileged opportunity.
Really, and that's what it's all about. It's all about relationship. I think about it much like the apostles, when they walked the earth, they really told the faith one-on-one. You know, sometimes there was a group, but it was always a small group. And we've kind of gotten away from that as Catholics. And so this is really exciting to talk about it in context of evangelization. You know, Adam, a lot of us feel so unprepared and tongue-tied, you know, when it comes to telling people about Christ, even though we would say, if someone asked us, that our relationship with Him is the most important thing in our lives. And I have to be totally honest, it's a lot easier for me to talk about Christ and my faith on the radio than it actually is one-on-one with someone who is not a believer or believes something different than I am, than I do. So I guess the first question I have for you is, what are we so afraid of? Why do we not want to go out there and tell people about Christ?
Yeah, you know, that question comes up so much. And I think actually Archbishop Vigneron put it so beautifully in Unleash the Gospel, a document he just wrote. He said, evangelizing simply doesn't come naturally for most of us. We think about going out there and talking about our faith one-on-one. It's like, man, you know, our brains just tell us everything that could possibly go wrong about how we aren't going to have the right answers, about, you know, just about how people are going to come up with these objections, or they're not going to care, or, you know, we're going to get into a debate and we're going to lose that debate. And then, gosh, we're going to have driven somebody away from the faith. And so I think we just get afraid of not having enough information, of, you know, not having learned enough about the faith. And so we're afraid to go out and share our faith with others. Or we live in a culture that's just frankly kind of anti-Christian. We live in a culture that, you know, mocks Christians and mocks Christianity. And so, you know, we're afraid to talk about our faith because of that. But the reality is people are interested. And I think Bishop Barron especially showed that when he just did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit and all the wonderful questions that people came up with and wanted to hear from him and the good fruit that was a result of that.
Yeah, and I can see in that kind of a format, people feel really free to ask a lot of those questions. What's it like, Adam, when you're out there on the street and you walk up to someone and they kind of look at you like, okay, I'm not sure if I want to talk to you. I mean, how does that go?
Yeah, and that's a great thing about street ministry is more often than not, people are walking up to us with questions. So most of our teams go out with sandwich boards that say, you know, free prayer, or Catholic truth on them. And people will approach us curious about what we're doing. It's like, wow, it's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's the Catholics that are out here. This is amazing. You know, hey, I heard this about the Catholic Church, or hey, what's going on with that abuse scandal? Or hey, you know what, this is going on in my life right now. You know, what does God have to say about that? And the beautiful thing is people want to come up, they want to talk about it. It's very rare to run into somebody on the street where it's you get hostility, right? Even if they're not sure, even if they don't believe in God, even if they doubt the Catholic faith, there's just an openness there where, as you said, it's all about relationship, where we can meet people where they're at, where we can talk about faith. And it's surprising to me, Sherry, how many people, you know, they're not walking down the street wondering why Catholics worship Mary or wondering about the Pope. They're walking down the street wondering where they're going to get a job or where their next meal is going to come from or why a family member is sick. There's just this brokenness in their life, either, you know, brokenness from illness or addiction or something going on in their family. And it's beautiful to be able to minister to people in those circumstances especially. And I think that's most common as we're talking to people about how and just about how God is able to answer those questions that are on their heart.
Yeah. Well, I could see how it would be different if you were on the street and let people come to you versus, you know, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. People tend to run when that happens. But if they see that sign, free prayer, as you mentioned, the brokenness, everybody really wants someone to help them. You know, they're looking for that. They're looking for help. And I love the word even free before the word prayer, because that shows people, you know, there's a bit of whimsy to it, but it's sort of like no strings attached, just come, we'll pray for you.
Yeah, exactly. We've had so many stories come in just from our teams out offering prayer, talking to people, and they will approach people now and then, not to say we never approach people, but it's not, you know, somebody asked me once, hey, is it like you go into Walmart and you tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, can I read the Nicene Creed to you? It's like, no, that's kind of awkward. Don't do that, right? But to be out and about and say, hey, you know what? I was just inspired by God to offer you this miraculous medal or this crucifix. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I just wanted to offer that to you. And how many people turn around and say, wow, God like sent you to me today. Like, man, this is going on in my life. And, you know, somebody's sick. Like, I would love for you to pray for me. Or I've got these questions. And wow, what a great circumstance that you just happened to be here.
You know, it's amazing, too, is that when people have that slight openness and you have the ability to sort of give them a little drop of the sacred, I mean, that carries them a long way, and they rarely forget that, so it's just beautiful. We're talking with Adam Janke, and the topic is evangelization. We've got a couple of phone lines available right now, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Have you ever been asked a question, Adam, that you don't know how to answer?
Well, certainly. Yes, I have. And so, you know, when we get questions...
Care to share?
Sure, yeah. When we get questions that, you know, sometimes it's... Well, I'll give you an example. I just had a question about the existence of God, and someone came up and he's like, yeah, you know, why can't the universe just exist in and of itself? And I was kind of caught off guard there, not sure what to say. Yeah. It's like, huh, well, I'm not really sure. You know, I don't know, but are you interested in exploring it more and finding out? And, of course, you can get your phone out and say, hey, Siri, tell me about the existence of God, right? What we ended up doing is we looked up the Magus Center, and, of course, they have some wonderful material on the existence of God. And we've got all kinds of tracks available on it, and so we just kind of looked together. And so it just reminded me of Jesus and the apostles and the road to Emmaus. And, you know, you're just answering questions together, you're working on it together, and it's totally okay to say, I don't know, because that just, you know, increases your credibility rather than to say, you know, just to try to make up an answer on the spot. But to say, hey, let's go after this together. Let's find out the answer, and let's see if there is one out there.
Mm. Well, that's beautiful, and I'm sure that the openness that you experience or that you show to the other person to say, I'm willing to listen to you, actually goes a long way. So it's beautiful to see that. Well, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll hit the phones here. But here is the number if you'd like to talk to Adam, 888-318-7884. Any question you have about evangelization, Adam is ready for it. So here's that number again, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Dr. Doctor, featuring Drs. Tom McGovern, Chris Stroud, and Andrew Mullally.
The number of people who are on government assistance expanded so much. Personally, I had patients in my office in tears saying, you know, I never thought of myself as somebody on government assistance. I just bought a new car. I can afford a brand new car, but I'm still on Medicaid.
Dr. Doctor, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Here's the number if you'd like to get in on this hour's show. We're talking about evangelization. It's not as hard as you think. 888-318-7884. I'm Sherry Brown-Rick, and Adam Janke is with us. And, you know, before we hit the phones here, I want to talk just quickly here about a sale that we have going on at Catholic Answers. Shop.catholic.com. Have you been there lately? Well, you do need to go, because we have hundreds of great Catholic resources on sale. Visit us today at shop.catholic.com. Check out the great savings, and we have $5 flat rate shipping in the continental U.S. I'm thinking Christmas. That's about 2 months away, by the way, so it's a good time to get some of that shopping done. All right, Adam, you ready to start taking some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Dennis is listening in Michigan, watching on YouTube Live. Hello, Dennis. You're on with Adam.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today, Dennis?
My question is, I am doing very well.
Great.
I guess I'll start with saying my wife and I, not very social people, but we still want to try to spread the gospel and share the word. And so my question was, what are your thoughts on the use of gospel tracts to get the message out there? For example, Halloween's coming up, so we thought about handing them out with some candy or leaving them in a shopping bag at the store or something of that nature.
Yeah, I love that idea. In fact, last Halloween, we got a couple bags of St. Michael Miraculous medals with the St. Michael Holy Card, and we taped those to the back of the Holy Card with some information on our parish, and we gave those out with just some great candy. So, you know, the kids not only got the candy, but they got the St. Michael Holy Card as well. And we have another track over at St. Paul Street Evangelization, where it's like a $1 billion bill. You see those that Protestants use those with, you know, it looks like fake money, and it has a picture of Jesus on it. So we have this $1 billion bill, and sometimes when we're out evangelizing, we'll say, hey, would you like a free you know, rosary or a free medal? And people will say no. We'll say, well, what about $1 billion? And then they'll stop in their tracks like, sure, I want $1 million. And so sometimes we'll use that track. You know, my wife and I will be out to eat at a restaurant, and we'll give it to the waitress, and we'll say, hey, you know, we're Christians and we're about to say grace. Is there anything we can, you know, pray for you while we're saying grace? And they'll often say yes. And so I think it depends on how we use those gospel tracks. So for instance, I would never leave that $1 billion track as a tip and not tip my waitress. You know, I would tip her very well and try to use it in relational ministry, just to get to know her and to offer prayer. Or, you know, Halloween, yeah, what a great idea to give away some miraculous medals, give away some holy cards or some other medals, along with the candy. And so I'm all about giving things away. I'm all about using tracts.
Well, Dennis, that's a great way to evangelize, and God bless you and your wife for doing that. So thanks so much for that call. Heading now to Neil in Virginia. Neil, I almost asked your question for you, my friend, so I'll let you get on the air and ask Adam.
Okay,
hey, Neil, you
yeah,
with
thank
us?
Thank you.
There you are. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, yes. When I was Protestant, the goal of evangelization when we did it was to get someone to say the sinner's prayer. And now that I'm, you know, Catholic and I hear my priest saying we ought to be evangelizers, I wonder, what is the goal? I mean, what should the ultimate goal be as a Catholic evangelizing? Do we try to get people to come to church? Do we want them to say some kind of prayer? What do you recommend, or what do you say?
Yeah, we want them to have a powerful, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict XVI, speaking about our goal in evangelization, said that our great task is therefore to propose a personal relationship with Christ as a key to complete fulfillment. And I think as he was speaking there, it, you know, reminds us of Isaiah. You know, why did Jesus die? Isaiah 53:5, that we might be healed. And so often what we see in the world, I mean, the sinner's prayer in the sense, you know, coming from the book of Romans, like that's sacred scripture right there. That's inspired, infallible sacred scripture that we believe in. And so Pope Benedict is like, yeah, you know, we need to propose this relationship with Jesus. And oftentimes, because honestly, like when we're out there doing street evangelization, our bishops, our priests might get a little upset if we start baptizing people on the street. But we can help them have this encounter with Christ through prayer in that moment. And then that encounter leads to an even deeper encounter as they join our CIA, as they come to church, or, you know, perhaps go back to confession and come back to the church if they've been away for a while, or be baptized or receive those sacraments. So, of course, you know, the ultimate and final goal is that we would be in heaven together forever before the beatific vision. But I think one of those immediate goals, as the Holy Father puts it, is to have that personal relationship through sacrament, through prayer.
Neil, thank you so much. That's a great question, and we appreciate the call. And Adam, you know, that's interesting, an encounter with Christ. A lot of folks shy away from evangelizing because they confuse it with proselytizing, but there's a difference, mm-hmm. isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So we're out there to propose the gospel, and people are freely able to say no, as Jesus said they would to the gospel. Well, we're out there to propose the goodness of the gospel, to bring the kingdom of God to them through prayer, through that demonstration of power that St. Paul talked about, through praying with people that they would experience Christ in their own life, and that they would be able to freely accept the gospel and say yes to Jesus. So we're not trying to force anybody. We're not trying to use, we're not trying to be manipulative or use underhanded tactics, but just to freely say, this is what we've received. This is what we want to hand on to you as well.
Yeah. We're talking with Adam Janke, and he is talking about evangelization, not as hard as you think. Answering your questions, 888-318-7884. We've got a couple of lines available right now. 888-31-TRUTH. Heading now to Hudson, Maryland, and actually Massachusetts. Caroline is on the line. Hi, Caroline. How are you?
Hi. So my question was regarding millennials. I myself am in my early 20s, and I am, you know, a frequent listener of the station. I am active in my parish, and I always have been since birth, and, you know, my entire family's Catholic. And I try to spread the joy and the Word of God to other people my age and the friends of mine, but I find it can be challenging with other millennials just due to, you know, especially the rise of paganism and the rise of the occult and, you know, the atheist scientific era. And it's really hard to try and, you know, get out there and spread the message without being sort of laughed at or being misinterpreted as coming on too strong and sort of telling people what they should and shouldn't believe. So what would a better approach be, I suppose, to reach millennials and, you know, have them understand that, you know, I'm just trying to open their hearts to the love that God can offer them.
Yeah, Carolyn, thank you for that question. That's wonderful. And it really goes back to the topic of the hour, evangelization, not as hard as you think, right? And so, you know, I've found with millennials, the young people that we meet out there that we're talking to, there's a real desire in this culture to be not only involved, but to give back, to help. And so, you know, I'll often talk about how the church is one of the most charitable organizations on earth. And so sometimes I'll say something like, Yeah, you know, can I give you one good reason why I choose to be a Catholic? And I'll say, yeah, because in Catholicism, like, we're trying to help, we're trying to give back, we're trying to be charitable, and using, like you said, that joy of the Lord. And so we try to get to what's on their heart. It's like, what do you think about that? You know, have you ever thought about the church in those terms, that we're out there trying to build this Christian culture that seeks to solve some of these problems that we have in society? And that's been really effective too. And then just trying to bring them in through different encounter opportunities at church, different places where we can go to explore the faith, and doing so very joyfully, and having that opportunity to serve alongside them. So we actually had a team, Carolyn, in Philadelphia not long ago. They were out evangelizing, and they came across a gentleman that was homeless out in Philadelphia. And so he had been living on the street for 6 weeks. He had been a nurse from California, but unfortunately he lost his 3-year-old son to cancer, and his wife passed away from a heart attack. And so he was just in bad shape, you know, as you can imagine, just depressed. He had made his way over to Philadelphia. He was hurting. And when our team found him, he was suicidal at that point. And so our team offered just to pray for him, to help him. The city of Philadelphia wasn't able to help him because he wasn't a resident, to get him back to California, to get him on his feet again. And so that was that's something that our team shared. They're like, that's a door in there. We're just we're out there. We're trying to help. We're trying to help people not only encounter Jesus, but to take care of their temporal needs as well. So I would say that's a big one, as well as, like you said, sharing your faith. In our culture, you know, it's kind of the popular thing to reject God and not believe in God. We need to be able to just be equipped with good, solid answers and a reason for our hope, reasons why we believe in God, and be able to not share that defensively, but be able to share that out of our own joy of how we've encountered Christ in our own testimony as well.
Does that help, Caroline?
Oh, that's a great help. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. Thanks, Caroline. We appreciate the call. 888-318-7884. Heading now to Mark in Bloomington, Indiana. Hello, Mark. You're on the air with Adam Janke.
Hi. Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. Before I get into my question, first, Adam, I just wanted to thank you, because I actually went with you to a Pittsburgh Pirates game back in 2015 to do street evangelization then. So I thank you for your instruction then. My question for today is, I was wondering if you had any tips for how to better evangelize to the Jehovah's Witnesses in the street evangelization setting, because where I currently live, the Jehovah's Witnesses put up their own street evangelization booth, kind of like how your group does it. And I see them frequently when I go jogging or biking. So I was wondering if you had any tips for how to evangelize to them in a street evangelization setting, because I know that they don't have the same rational faith and reason sort of approach that we have or that other Protestants have. So I was wondering if you had any tips for how to best evangelize to them.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, and thanks for calling in, and it's good to talk to you. So, you know, there's lots of good tracts and apologetics out there for both understanding the beliefs of Jehovah's Witnesses. Catholic Answers has some great materials, and understanding how to respond to them. I think what I want to do with our time here on the air is go a little bit deeper. We just had this wonderful event in Detroit, Michigan, called Immersion over the summer, where we went out to downtown Detroit and we were evangelizing there. We had, gosh, I think 50 people with us when we went out to the market. And so we had 50 Catholic evangelists show up, and there was a group of Jehovah's Witnesses standing out on the sidewalk looking with these giant eyes about, oh my goodness, 50 Catholics just showed up. So one of our evangelists went over and talked to him, said, it's okay, don't panic. We're not gonna beat you up or anything like that. And so she sat down, one of our great evangelists, Beth, and was speaking to them. And it was a lot like, you know, we approach anybody, trying to start with that relational ministry of listening and befriending them, understanding where they're coming from. A lot of these Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of these Mormons are doing it more out of obligation. It's just part of what they do as a church. They've been set up to go out there. And so I find that when I talk to a lot of them that are out there, there's a certain lack, like we talked with our last caller, of joy that's there. And I've never had a Jehovah's Witness honestly even smile when I'm talking to them. and they always want to stay on script. And so I think one of the most powerful things we can do, whether it's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Muslim or whoever, is just try to get to know them. One of the t-shirts I love wearing, it says, "What's your story?" It's like just to listen and befriend them first to find out what's going on in their own life. And then we best know what the disposition of their own soul is, where their own heart is in that moment. And then we can begin to respond to some of the things that are going on in their heart. And, you know, again, it's all about the gospel of Jesus, understanding who Jesus is as God, as Lord, as Savior who's died for us and loves us. And then then we can talk about some of the classic apologetics, you know, about the faith of the church and how it goes back 2,000 years, about holy orders and everything else in the Eucharist. But just starting with them, if you meet them out on the street, from that place of love and charity and getting to know their story.
And Mark, you sound like someone who can do that. So we'll be praying for you, and love that. Love the fact that you've got that opportunity. Well, you hear the music. That means we're up against a break, but we've got a lot more to come with Adam Janke. We're talking about evangelization, not as hard as you think. 888-31-TRUTH.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel, Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brown-Rigg in for Cy Kellett. Here's the number, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. Today we are talking with Adam Janke of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Too many STs in there, apparently. But we're talking about evangelization, you know, not really as hard as you think. And Adam is really kind of boiling it down for all of us. So if you've got an opportunity to call, you do want to get in on this conversation. It's a good one. 888-31-TRUTH. And Adam, I know that there is always a lot going on with St. Paul Street Evangelization. What is new?
Yeah, we have just some exciting projects we're working on right now. One of them that I'm most excited about is we have launched just this year a new St. Paul School of Evangelization, which is both has an online component where we have experts in the faith teaching in videos that you can watch on our website, and we have an on-location component, which is really cool because we're serving parishes where we will go in, we will have a weekly class on evangelization where we practice together. And then we serve the vision of the pastor in that parish. And so the parish we're in right now, where I'm teaching, at the end of the year, we're going to go out and we're going to do door-to-door ministry to all the Catholics that had been going to his church but have recently quit going. And so we're going to knock on their doors and visit with them and pray with them, see what's going on, and serve that parish. And so next year, we're hoping to expand out to 10 different cities and locations all throughout the United States and Canada where we're able to serve just right there in the parishes, the needs of the pastors, the needs of the staff, and train up great evangelists. So we're really excited about that. We also have a new one-day workshop we're offering around the country called Healing and Evangelization Training based on our new book, our new book on healing, where we're going into parishes and we're teaching all about just how to pray with people. And so prayer, again, is that powerful encounter with Jesus. And so Ordinary Christians, Extraordinary Signs is a wonderful new book just on prayer ministry and how that in and of itself can be converting.
Adam, do you think that healing really opens up someone to be evangelized?
It absolutely does, because as we're praying with people and they experience God through either inner healing, or there have even been some extraordinary times when we've evangelized where somebody even received physical healing. There was a religious sister from Nairobi we prayed with who had shingles, and she was healed of shingles. And then there was a young man that had, he was going blind in his eyes, and we prayed for him, and his eyes were healed. And that immediately led in his heart to the reality that God exists and Jesus is Lord. And he said, "Where's the nearest priest?" I said, "Why?" It's like, "I need to go to confession right now."
Wow.
So, we're like, "Well, don't worry. We can make that happen." And so as people encounter Jesus, inner healing, whatever healing God wants to do in their hearts, it absolutely does bring them closer to him.
Oh, that's beautiful to hear that. 888-318-7884. Let's head back to the phones. Here is Roslyn. She's in Nebraska listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hello, Roslyn. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is, I have a daughter who was raised Catholic from birth and now has left the church, still believes in God, but I don't know how to get her back. And the second part of my question is, I have a son-in-law who I think believes in God but doesn't practice any sort of faith. How do I evangelize to the two of them so they can see the value in the beauty of the sacraments?
Yeah, Rosalind, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. And I have family members myself. I have siblings that have left the faith, and that's something I think about every day. And so, of course, there's no one silver bullet that's going to bring everybody back in evangelization. It just depends on where their hearts are. And so a couple of the things that come to mind, of course, is to pray for the intercession of St. Monica and, her son, St. Augustine, lived that life in the world for years. And there was somebody else, not St. Monica, but St. Ambrose, who came into St. Augustine's life and evangelized him, was able to bring him back to the church. And so I'm praying for my siblings every day just for somebody to come into their life. Probably is not going to be me as their brother. They know me too well. And so someone else that will come into their life that will be able to share the gospel with them in a powerful way that will just provide that actual grace that they need in that moment for conversion. The other thing that comes to mind as well is, depending on how open your children are to receiving, Catholic audio from the Augustine Institute or Lighthouse Catholic Media or different books that you read that have inspired you that you could share with them. Or if something happened that happened to cause a wound, they're mad at another Christian for something that was done to them, just apologizing. That's why my own mom came back to the church. She had left for years. And then we sat down to lunch with a priest when my wife and I converted. And the priest, Father Don, said, "What happened? What went wrong?" And she explained why she left the church. And Father simply said, "On behalf of the church, I'm so sorry that happened. Please accept my apology." And that was all it took. She called me a week later, said she had gone back to confession and that she was back in the Catholic Church. So there's lots of other things we could talk about, but those are just the two things that we consistently pray for them. Pray especially somebody would come into their life, and then wherever that possible open opportunity, that open door is, whether it's giving them something, a book or a CD, inviting them to something at church, or if there's a wound there, something else that we can apologize for, some conversation that we can have that might help as well.
And Rosalind, I want to thank you so much for the question and offer maybe one other bit of advice as well. I'm in the same boat. My husband has left the church, and I converted to Catholicism when I married him, and he has since left. So go figure, God has a funny plan. But the one thing that God always tells me is to simply be the best Christian I can possibly be. And it doesn't mean, you know, running off to prayer meetings every night. I do plenty of that. But it means loving him as much as I possibly can and understanding where his wounds are and trying to minister to those wounds with my love so that he can experience Christ rather through me and through my love. And so that's one thing that I have a feeling your daughter will respond to as well. So, Rosalind, thank you so much for that call. Heading from Nebraska to Billings, Montana, and Bill is there. Hey, Bill, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't have so much a question as a comment. My wife and I are converts to the Catholic Church. We've been members for about 5 years. And we pick up on that Catholics especially seem to be timid about how to share their faith and to evangelize. And I think that it's simpler than we want to imagine, but the idea isn't that we're going to do anything for Christ, it's that he's going to do something through us, and we need to be able to recognize opportunity. That's the big deal. And opportunity comes to us every day. And as we pray on a daily basis that God would make us a vessel for his glory and to be able to recognize these opportunities, people are asking for help, but they aren't just saying, they aren't stating a question for help. That's just not how it happens. We need to recognize it. So in my daily operation as a builder, I run into it all the time, where people are saying they need help and they don't know what to do. So then we began to dialogue. Am I talking to someone?
Yeah, you sure are.
Hello?
Yeah, that makes total sense to me, Bill. And you're absolutely right. We need to pray in our own life for divine appointments because God is putting people into our path that we need to speak to. So it reminds me one time I had a youth group we took out, a Catholic youth group, to go evangelize, and they were they were a little afraid, as you can imagine, of what was going to happen. And so it's like, you know what, let's just pray and see if God reveals anything in our hearts about who we're going to talk to or what we're going to do today. And so one young girl was praying, and she spoke up, and she said, I just have this sense that I'm supposed to talk to this gentleman in a wheelchair with a red baseball cap on, who happens to be bald, and he needs prayer for something, a health condition. I'm like, wow, that's exceptionally specific. And so they went out and evangelized, and here comes rolling along, a gentleman in a wheelchair with a red baseball cap on. She's like, you're my guy. And he's like, what? He's a little freaked out. He keeps, he's like, going along. She's like, no. Like, do you need prayer for anything? And he said, oh yeah, I do. I've got this terrible skin condition. And they prayed together, and he just encountered the peace of the Lord and some healing. And she was just so shocked that God had this opportunity for her, but not only in street ministry, but in our everyday life. My wife, as an example, she's a mom of seven beautiful children, and she'll go to the grocery store and she'll see another mom with, just dragging the kid by the feet down the frozen food section as he's screaming and throwing a fit. And she'll just go up to that mom and say, you know what, hon, I totally get it. You're doing a great job. And be able to minister to people even in that moment. So whether it's a workplace or the grocery store or the restaurant or the airplane or on the street, God provides those opportunities. Yeah. And I'll just finish by saying, we went out and did street ministry once, and a gentleman walked up to us that was out there on the street too. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, we're out here bringing Jesus to the streets. And he looked straight in my eyes and he said, no, you're not. Jesus is already out here. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. He's in every single person we encounter. And, that kind of changed me that day, realizing we weren't simply bringing Jesus out there. He's already there. We just need to pray for that boldness and that zeal to recognize that.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Bill, for your comments. We do appreciate that. And for your particular viewpoint, having been a Catholic for 5 years, I think you're absolutely right about that. We do need to be better about recognizing those evangelization opportunities. Hey, Adam, I want to talk briefly about Catholic Answers, a conference they have. They're coming to Omaha, and that is November 2nd of this year, actually just a couple of weeks away. So if you're in the middle of the country, this is a conference for everyone. And Spirit Catholic Radio, in cooperation with Catholic Answers, is putting on this wonderful conference. And it's at the Embassy Suites La Vista Conference Center in Omaha. Tim Staples is going to be there, Trent Horn and Cy Kellett, and also Matt Fratt and Dr. Ray Guarendi are going to be along as well. Space is limited. It is filling up quickly. So if you do want to get in on this, you're going to have to go to spiritcatholicradio.com and register. As of yesterday, they had only about 300 spots left, and those 300 spots are going to fill up. And if you do need to stay overnight, then you can just mention Spirit Catholic Radio for a discounted room rate at the Courtyard by Marriott. It's right next door. So very, very easy. And I know that area, and it actually is a really neat area to be in, and you got to come to this conference. So it's really going to be fun. We'll be right back. Here's the number in case you want to get in on the great conversation about evangelization with Adam Janke, 888-318-7884. Lots more to come here on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Catholic Answers Live. You've got answers, or you've got questions, and we've got the answers here at Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett. And coming up next hour, we're going to be talking about the development of doctrine. And that may sound a little bit dry, but believe me, it will not be. It's going to be a very, very interesting conversation. And Joe Heschmeyer is going to be with us as well. This hour, we've got Adam Janke talking about evangelization, not as hard as you think. And a lot of folks are on the line here, Adam, so I think we better get back to these phones here. Next up is Jeff in Bryan, Texas. He's listening on Red Sea Radio. Hey, Jeff, thanks for waiting. You're on with Adam.
Thank you for taking my call. Adam, I've got a question for you. How do you evangelize? I know you'd mentioned that you came from a Baptist background and everything. How do you evangelize to, you know, Bible Christians? I know for me personally, what made me my conversion was, you know, John chapter 6. But how do you, you know, my wife she goes to a Bible study at a Bible church, and once a week, and I'm just wondering, you know, how can I evangelize to her and her family and everything?
Yeah, we love our Baptist brothers and sisters. You know, as a Baptist, I fell in love with the Bible. I still love the Bible. As a Baptist, I fell in love with Jesus. Still love Jesus. As a Baptist, I fell in love with a good potluck. Still love a good potluck. My wife can tell you that too. So, you know, for my wife and I, you know, I started studying the Catholic Church first because I was out there doing street ministry, and you know, some Catholics would say, you know, I'm not sure what your teaching's actually true, and so that got me to think. Well, huh? I at least want to be intellectually honest. If Catholics don't worship Mary, I don't want to, you know, say Catholics worship Mary. That doesn't help my own credibility any. And so that led me to begin studying, like you said, John 6. I read Carl Keating's Catholicism and Fundamentalism, and that was a real eye-opener for me, as well as Scott Hahn's works and the early church fathers and all those beautiful works. So I'd say, you know, is your wife open to learning more and to reading more about the faith, or Are there any particular objections that she has? And so over a period of years, my wife Teresa and I, you know, we studied what the church believed. And, you know, at first she wasn't real interested, but over time, as she saw it, you know, impacting a change in me, as I fell deeper in love with Jesus and would spend more time in prayer and more time reading my Bible, that got her interested. And at first it wasn't, you know, really a friendly interest. It was more like, man, you know, Catholics aren't really going to heaven, right? And so she started reading, she was talking to her friends, and she started, you know, attending Mass, and I told her about adoration. We started praying the rosary together even. And it's like, hey, hon, it's a prayer about the Bible, meditating on the Bible, meditating on the life of Jesus. And slowly over time, she came around. So, yeah, Jeff, I'm just curious, is there any particular objection to the faith that she has?
Her thing is just, it's just, she was raised Southern Baptist, and it's just kind of, it's not spiritual. We've been to Mass once, and I'm going through RCIA right now, and I'm trying to get her to go with me and everything, but it's too traditional for her. She said it's not spiritual, and I've mentioned to her before, you know, it's not like a Tony Robbins speech or anything like that. but I don't think that's what church is supposed to be. But she said it's just not spiritual. To her, it's about a personal relationship, and I think she gets caught up on feelings too much, what she feels inside when she goes to church or something.
Yeah, so it's valid to say, hey, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, for sure. And like you mentioned, John 6, how can we have a more intimate, more personal relationship with Jesus and being able to receive him in the Holy Eucharist? And so, you know, if she's open to listening to any talks, especially Scott Hahn's The Lamb's Supper, I mean, that completely blew my mind as a Baptist and made me realize, like, wow, I've got to rethink a few things here, because this is all coming straight from the Bible, as Scott Hahn teaches. And of course, he and Kimberly were once, Protestant as well. But of course, praying for her, seeing where those open doors are, just giving it time, any opportunity that you have to explore the faith together, I don't know if you have access to form.org, watching those stories of the lives of the saints. And, when she talks about it being spiritual, I found so much, being a Baptist, like we'd pray together, but I never felt like we could go as deep spiritually as I thought God had for us. And when I discovered the lives of the saints and the writings of the saints, I'm like, wow, like now we're really getting deep spiritually. So, maybe that would be an avenue to explore as well.
Jeff, thank you so much for the call. We do appreciate it. And one other thing I might add as well, being that she is a Bible Christian, you might take advantage of Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book. Read that yourself and maybe help her to see how the Catholic Church actually put the Bible together. That can be kind of a shock for some folks who are actually Bible Christians. And I've just got a note on my screen right here that we can send that to you if you want to stay on the line. We'll send you a free copy of that book. So thank you so much, Jeff. All right, so we are heading from Texas to Las Vegas, Nevada. Margaret is there. Hello, Margaret. You're on the air with Adam Janke. Margaret, are you with us? All right, sounds like Margaret may have dropped off here, so we will go next to Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I just wanted to share an opportunity that came to me through, I'm going to say a message from the Holy Spirit. I had just recently retired about 15 years ago and was active with a couple of Bible studies with different faith men, and Catholic Bible study also. But I had the urge to call the County Juvenile Detention Center. And I asked the director and offered some help to any chaplain that might be serving the center. And he said, we don't have any chaplain. And I said, well, what about a youth minister? He said, we don't have one of those either. And we're never going to have either a chaplain or a youth minister. And he said, it's a long story. And he said, I don't have time to go into it right now. And that was it. And I made a few phone calls to our county executive and to the family court judge. And they said, yeah, but it's his business and we can't do anything about it. Well, 4 years went by and he died. And in the meantime, I've been from time to time praying about it. And I got a call from the new director. He said, you've been referred to me by the family court judge here in town. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about that program you talked about. I said, I didn't talk about any program. I said, all I wanted to do was just offer some assistance to anybody, chaplain or youth minister. He said, we'd like to talk to you about a program. I said, well, I don't know anything. I was a salesman. I was in the insurance business, and that was my life for 50 years. Anyway, he said, meet me for lunch. He said, at least I'll have a free lunch. So we met. And he laid out the plan for me, and he said, we really would like for you to start a program. Well, I went home, and thanks to Google, I found so many resources online that I thought, all right, I'll give it a try. That was 11 years ago this month, October. I've ministered to well over 1,000 young kids that have been in the detention center, brought Christ to them through programs that we do every week, once a week, for 11 years, and just open your eyes and be open to new possibilities for evangelizing. They're out there. They're waiting for us. And it just blows my mind that the county allows me to come in, and all the kids have Bibles. We bring the Bibles. I buy them Bibles. And it's just been a wonderful experience. And that's my story.
Anonymous, that is a beautiful story. And what you did there is you really listened to the Holy Spirit and just went with it and see what he did. You know, I mean, how does that make you feel?
Excited and blessed, very blessed.
Yeah.
Very,
you know, you're almost becoming a spiritual father for a lot of these kids.
Yeah, yes. And look at me again, Father. They've been so respectful and so participative. We meet for about an hour and a half every Tuesday afternoon, and it's just the highlight of my week.
Wow. Well, I can tell that you are someone who's very humble, and so, you know, the fact that the Lord is using you, I think, speaks to that. First of all, your humility and the allowing him to do that, and that's where all that fruit comes. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, let's head now to John in St. Joseph's, Missouri, listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Hey, John, you're on the air.
Yes. My parish just a couple of years ago started a new presidium of the Legion of Mary, and our brief up to this point has been to go down the parish roster, go to every family in the parish, knock on the door, say, hi, how you doing? We're from Guadalupe. Is there anything we can tell the pastor for you? How you doing? What mass do you go to? And just kind of see where they're at and report back. We're about to close out that phase and go into a new phase where we park the car and go down the block and knock on every door and say, hi, we're from Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. We'd like to invite you to an inquiry session, a little information session we're going to have at the mall this Saturday. So I'm just wondering, do you have any general advice? What can we expect as we move into this new phase?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I love the fact that you guys are going door to door and doing that, and not just reaching the people in the parish, but reaching everybody, because of course that parish and that pastor is responsible for everyone in those parish boundaries. And so I think it's most important as we're talking to people, as we're knocking on doors, that we do take that time to listen and to befriend people, to make sure that they know that we truly care, and that if they walk into the doors of the church on Sunday, that someone will be there that cares about them, that wants to listen to them, that wants to befriend them, and we care more about just the fact that they're there, but we truly care about who they are. So I've had so many opportunities to talk to people that have left the Catholic Church because they just felt like another number, another envelope, that they felt like, well, they really don't care about me here. But if we can knock on those doors and say, hey, what's your story? What's going on in your life? How can we pray for you? And add all that into, hey, you know, we have the inquiry class here. We're going to have a meal. And as you get to know people and as you're listening to their stories, you know, sometimes maybe even say, you know what, let's just go get a cup of coffee. I'd love to just get a cup of coffee with you sometimes. People knowing that they're truly loved and cared about is a really big deal, because polls and you know, research and everything shows that it's not so much a commercial, it's not so much a billboard, but it's actually somebody that cares about them in that church will get them to come back.
Amen. Thank you so much for that call, John. We appreciate it. Adam, we got to run, but thank you. This has been a great hour. We appreciate you being here with us. And friends, if you want to call in for next hour, here's that number, 888-318-7884. We're going to be talking about Doctrine Can It Develop? 888-318-7884.